Tammy Flanagan of the National Institute of Transition Planning is here, and her column this week in Government Executive Magazine is titled How to Know When It's Time to Go. And you're well known for being the when is the best day to retire. So that's the decision about when calendar wise. But your column this week is a little bit different take on when's the best time to retire, I guess, Tammy.
That's right, Francis. Thanks for having me on again this week. And this was a two-part column that we did, and I'm trying to dispel the myth that maybe Mike Causey and I both created about there's this magic date to retire. And I think so many federal employees are wrapped up with this one date when in reality, retirement's the rest of your life. So I'm thinking we need to focus on some of the common sense things, because I'm not a financial advisor, and some of you might need one, but that's not my background. But just the common sense things about thinking about mental preparation for retirement. What are you going to do with all those extra hours in a week? And financial readiness, like for there's people who I know who could retire very comfortably on half their salary, but there's other people who need 150% of their salary to live the life they're envisioning for themselves. So really give that some thought as far as the financial planning and the mental preparation, and then the date will follow. You know, then you can pick the date.
You write under SERS, it was pretty simple to decide because it was a kind of a one-size-fits-all retirement plan, right?
Well, I always tell this story of my Uncle Steve, because Uncle Steve worked for the Air Force as a civilian, and he retired in 1978. So I asked him one time, I said, Uncle Steve, what did you do to prepare for your retirement? And he just looked at me kind of funny. He's like, what do you mean? What did I do to prepare? I said, well, did you take a class? Did you hire an advisor? You know, did your agency offer you help? He's like, no. He says, I turned 55 and I put my papers in and I retired 30 days later. He said there was really no planning involved. But he said, you know, he was retired 34 years. He was retired longer than he worked. So he said to me one time, he said, you know what, if I would have planned, I would have worked longer. He says, I enjoyed my work. It's not that I didn't have enough money in retirement, but I really got some satisfaction out of the work that I did. And that was really the best years of my life was the work I did as an air traffic controller out at Edwards Air Force Base. You know, he worked with the likes of the speed pilots who got the, you know, speed records and so forth. So it was an exciting job for him.
It's funny that you mention that, because we just did a special report not too long ago called The Reverse Retirement Wave. And one of my takeaways from that was that's probably the most logical explanation as to why people are staying in government long after they're eligible to retire, is they like their work.
Government work's getting very exciting. I was writing about something, well, I don't know where I was doing something where I was writing something down the other day, and I did a little research on the FBI, because I used to work at the FBI down at headquarters. And I always wanted to be at work in the fingerprint division. I thought that sounded really exciting. But when in reality, back in 1980, that was like factory work. You had to go through these files and files, rows and rows of file cabinets. And it was all, you know, just very tedious and production work. So I looked into that today. I said, if I was working in the fingerprint division today, they're doing facial recognition. They're doing, you know, thumbprints and handprints and iris, you know. Stuff, real cutting edge technology, that would be exciting to be in on that. I don't know that I'd want to retire if I was doing that kind of work.
Another thing that people have going for them is if they've been doing it right, they've been in FEHBP for a long period of time, so they're probably pretty healthy folks.
Yeah.
And able to continue working productively.
Exactly. And by the time you've been in government 30 years, you're earning 8 hours leave. You're earning a day of leave every 2 weeks that you work, and you probably have some in the bank. So if you really did want to take a 3 week vacation, you could do that and come back refreshed and work another 5 years.
And so the FERS system then makes this, it seems, a little more complicated, not process-wise, but adds these extra elements into the decision-making process that make people say, at least maybe make them think twice or three times about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
Well, and then the other thing too with FERS, take the TSP for instance. If you see a downturn in the market like we saw in 2008, you saw retirements come to a screeching halt because people got worried. They said, oh my goodness, yeah, I've been too aggressive and now my savings have dropped 30%, so maybe I better work a few more years. And then the other thing on the opposite side of that with the TSP is if you're working past age 59 and a half, you can take a one-time withdrawal of your TSP money while you're still working. You don't have to retire to actually use the money. So, and the other thing with Social Security, the same thing. If you're 66 years old right now, you could be working full time and still draw Social Security retirement and work at the same time. So you don't necessarily have to retire to use your retirement benefits, which is kind of crazy.
Tammy Flanagan of the National Institute of Transition Planning, writing in GovExec. So that my takeaway from the column, you've got terrific information in here, as you always do. But my takeaway more broadly is that the decision making that you would recommend for people is based on their personal lives and not on some magic day to get some little extra slice of benefits that may or may not really make much of a difference in the long term.
Right. It's important once you have chosen the time you want to retire to look at the calendar and look at the leave periods, all the things we've always talked about. But don't focus on there being some magic date that everybody else found out and you missed out on, because it's going to be different for Francis than it is for Tammy, mm-hmm. as far as when we want to retire and how we enjoy what we do now and what we're looking forward to doing in the future.
And that is maybe the key element that doesn't get talked about a lot. And Mike writes about it periodically. But I think it's good to focus on that, because I'm not sure that a lot of people think as much about what comes next as they do about leaving what's coming right now. And they're going to have folks, if they're not going to another job, if they're not leaving government to go to work at another position outside of government, they're going to have a lot of time on their hands.
That's right. It could be like the last day of high school where you say, wow, I'm free at last. Or it could be a scary proposition, like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? You mm-hmm. say that in high school and you say that when you retire. That it's almost the same type of life-changing event. It's a new chapter in life that we don't want to underestimate.
Is that possibly the reason that a lot of folks seem to be expressing an interest in phased retirement or in getting rehired once they've decided to retire from full-time work?
Yeah, and I think that's a real healthy thing to do. And I think there's a lot of people who don't get it, because they'll say to me in class, why would I want to do phased retirement when I can have a second career? This isn't about having a second career. This is about easing into the water. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than jumping in full force into the 60-degree swimming pool, you want to just walk yourself weight into it so that you get used to it a little bit at a time. And if the government or in private industry as well, they haven't really embraced this idea of phased retirement wholly yet. But I hope that we see more of that in the future, because I think it's going to be a much better way for people to enter that phase of life.
It seems to me the government's having the same issues the private sector is, which is trying to figure out exactly
what's in it for us,
what it looks like. And and how do we derive a benefit from it? How do mm-hmm. we get a return on what we're putting in to make it happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director, National Institute of Transition Planning. It's great to see you as always, my friend.
Thank you, Francis.